and welcome to Sci-Fi Hour at Joy on Paper Radio, a show about writing, those who dream of writing, and to give you the story behind the book. Today we have a very special Sci-Fi Hour. I'm so honored to be joined in the studio with author John Hope. So John is right here beside me. Say hello, John.
Hello, John.
And if you can't tell, he is a little bit of a humor writer. So we're going to be talking sci-fi. We're going to be talking humor. And later, the last half hour of the show, we're going to be talking a lot about the Alvarium Experiment, which is a group of authors that both John and I happen to be a part of. So we're going to get into that a little bit later. But first, I would like to just welcome John to the show and thank you so much for driving all this way. You came from the Orlando area.
Yeah, but St. Pete is my home. I was born and raised here, so it's always good to come back home.
That's right. And we also have in common that we're both runners. We were just talking about on Thanksgiving Day. I think we're both doing a run, a turkey trot type of thing on Thanksgiving Day. And you were mentioning you were a little sore because you just did a half marathon, or you've been doing a bunch of half marathons.
Yeah, on Saturday. It was a trail run, so it had lots of water and sand and stuff, things that would hurt you.
And so let's get into it with your writing. I'm going to be reading something of yours in just a moment. But before I do, I would like to have you just chat a little bit about what it is you write, how you got into writing, and what some of you are watching either on the Tantalk Radio YouTube channel, you're listening on the radio, or you might be on my Instagram or Facebook Live. John has a lot of books in front of us. So will you just talk a little bit about your background in writing and what led you to write some of these books?
Sure. Yeah. I've, over the years, have written mostly short stories because that's pretty much what I started with. And I have quite a short attention span, so it seems to fit me pretty well. But over the years, I've cranked out 16 books, and I have a 17th that's coming out on Thanksgiving. I primarily write middle grade fiction and largely adventure-like stories, but also incorporate a lot of fantasy and sci-fi into everything I write. Essentially anything that makes the story better and makes it fun for not only kids, but for kids like me.
Which is so awesome. We even talked about the fact that you are going to be doing a school presentation tomorrow. Yeah. Down in St. Pete. So we got into a little discussion about the fact that I have actually done one school presentation myself as an author with my book, Lance and Ringo Tales. And I happened to go, I decided to do this back in 2020, February of 2020. You can all probably see what's coming with this story. And I go to Blanton Elementary School and give this presentation on my book, Lance and Ringo Tales, and what happens right after that, the pandemic. So I have not actually made it back into any of the schools yet, but then I find out we have a tie there as well.
Yeah, that was the school I went to when I was growing
you
up.
You went to Blanton Elementary, which I thought was amazing. Also, I met a friend of the show, amazing author Devon Miller, who does our children's book buzzes here at Joy on Paper. That's when I first met Devon. Listeners who know Devon's voice and know about his Mr. Tickety Talk series, that is when I first met him back in 2020, and I said, you have got to meet Patsy Gill of Joy on Paper, and the rest is history. So really fun connection there. Okay, so I would really like to talk about some specifics about some of these books. Let's get into Laser Hamsters a little bit, because that's one of the books. It's a short story, right? What would you call it? A novella?
Yeah. It was really a short story that got out of hand, so it got a little longer.
I relate to those moments where you're writing, trying to get under 5,000 words, and somehow you end up with 10 or 20?
Yeah.
Laser Hamsters is a short story that you wrote for one of our Alvarium anthologies. So we'll get into more with the Alvarium stuff when we get into the last half of our hour. But talk a little bit about the inspiration. First of all, the title just is so evocative, Laser Hamsters. What was the impetus for getting this story written?
It started with the the project that you mentioned, that for each one of those books that we have, there's a different theme. And the theme for this one was speculative fiction with humor. And so I was just trying to think of something that was humorous. And a lot of times I can't really explain how my brain works, but it just, I just think about all the different humorous situations I can think of. And in this situation, I was thinking, let's have aliens invade. And then I thought, what could they be doing? Oh, I know, they could be empowering some sort of animal with a supernatural ability. And I just thought of what's the most unthreatening animal I could think of? And I thought hamsters, because when you mesh those kind of opposite thoughts together, it turns out to be pretty funny. And what's great about this story is I got to have a lot of fun with the aliens themselves and with the heroes that kind of step in and save the day.
So when I was reading this story, so would you call it, okay, so we're in the sci-fi umbrella, but we're also in the humor umbrella. Mm-hmm. And the word that comes to mind when I'm reading that story, Laser Hamsters, is the absurd. Is that what type of humor would you categorize it as? Am I on the right track?
Yeah. Okay. That kind of describes me in a nutshell. I'm pretty absurd.
The absurd.
And I also gravitate toward darker senses of humor, because I just find laughing at things that you shouldn't be laughing at to be the funniest things.
which works well when you're writing for kids, especially. So this story, I remember when it first came out, I think this was 2021 when we put out that anthology and that story was featured in that anthology. I was laughing out loud. Sometimes you read humor and it's more subtle, it's more the dark humor, it's more maybe satire, political satire, stuff like that, where you're not necessarily laughing out loud. I was laughing out loud several times. And I'm going to hold up, for those who are watching on some of our live streams, I'm going to hold up a little picture of the back. Hopefully you can see this. I'm going to come around. There we go. So on the back, there's this wonderful illustration. And I'm going to ask you about the cover art in a moment. There's a wonderful illustration of those two alien characters. And they, to me, they are one of the funniest things about this story, because they're trying to imitate children. But of course, they're using phrases like, we the juveniles enjoy our... They use very adult language, meaning they sound like adults trying to be kids. And their supreme emperor alien that they are serving under loves somehow the ALF reruns. If you all are listening, I'm dating myself a little bit. I watched ALF as a kid. It's that wonderful show about the alien who comes to live with... What's the family name? The Manners. Thank you. And so in this story, the Supreme Slug Emperor watches ALF reruns. Somehow they get sent across the galaxy and he's watching them. And so that's the whole kind of absurd premise behind these aliens coming to Earth to try and get more reruns of ALF. And again, it's one of those, it particularly tickled my funny bone. And so let's talk a little bit about this cover. Did you design this? Did you get a cover artist? Because I would say the illustration is awesome. It's so apropos to the type of humor that it is.
I got somebody to illustrate this for me, but I'm very picky when it comes to that. And I actually describe in quite detail exactly what I want on my covers when I'm working with an artist. This particular artist is actually a lady from Amsterdam.
Oh, nice.
Who is doing some freelance artistry. And
how did you find her?
There was just a website that kind of links artists with different projects that I was able to find.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, I went to that same site to do...
Is that a site you mind sharing with everybody?
It's just Fiverr, I believe. It's Fiverr.
Oh, I call it Fiverr, but I know what you're talking about. Like all kinds of things you can ask people to do for $5. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Fiverr. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. I'd mispronounce things all the time.
Okay. I don't actually know if I'm right or not. Somebody in the listening audience can probably tell us what it really is. Okay, so you've had cover artists found that way. Some of your other covers, very different because they're very different types of books.
Yes.
How do you find those cover artists?
So some of them I've actually done myself.
Awesome.
Father's Violin, for example, is actually a mishmash of various photographs. The background is actually an authentic photograph from World War II, and that's the time period this takes place. And then I added some additional, did some Photoshopping myself. And so that's more or less how I got that. This one I just purchased from somebody.
Okay.
So I don't really know who did that. But it really just depends on
where you're going with it. And for the most part, you have independently published each of these things, or do you have a publisher for any that do publishing for you?
The only traditional publishers I've gone through is actually with the children's picture books.
Oh, yes.
Let's
hold those up.
Yeah, I started with these, but yeah. I quickly realized that there wasn't much of a market toward children's picture books,
which is surprising.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's I do a lot better with my middle grade fiction.
And I want to hold up.
Yeah, Panky Land.
The Panky Land series is also very fun. It's a supernatural theme park idea, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's based around a fictitious theme park named Panky Land, and it's actually very negative toward Panky Land at parts because I'm not a big fan of theme parks.
Okay, even though we were just talking about you have a family member with some connections to Universal Studios, but we won't get into that, okay?
Yeah, there's some conflict in the family.
Oh, that's too funny. Not everybody loves theme parks, I will say. I'm a fan personally, but I happen to like roller coasters. I grew up going with my family, so it's not for everybody though.
I do love roller coasters.
Okay.
I just don't like people.
I see. This is why you're the lone writer in your little space. Everybody get away. I'm trying to write my stories. Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
Individuals I love. Uh-huh. I love connecting with people on a one-on-one basis, but as a mass.
Crowds. Theme parks tend to be very crowded, especially in Orlando. Of the Orlando area, Busch Gardens in Tampa. Very hot, especially in the summer. So, you know, you not only have the crowds, but the heat that kind of compresses you. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about, I was pulling up your bio and I realized, do you have it on your phone that I could read? Because my phone is over there.
Yeah.
So the humor aspect of your writing as a reader of yours and also fellow author in this group of authors that we're both a part of, I have so appreciated the way that you write humorous writing. And you just showed me this. In fact, let's hold up. I'm sorry, I'm crushing this little image you've got.
It's okay.
So you've got a new book, and we're going to talk about it in just a moment, called Scot Free. And I'm holding up this little cover for everybody watching to see. Okay, so the inside the front of the book is this about the author bio that you wrote. And when I read it, I just went, this guy is a masterclass in humor writing. I'm going to read it to everybody. John Hope writes in a locked basement, surrounded by whistling cats, a yodeling parakeet, and two beagles fashioning neon yo-yos. He writhes in a self-anguish with every syllable he composes. Neighbors occasionally hear screams from his writing dungeon like a wailing pink panther after he pricks his finger on a sewing machine. Once the pain subsides, mind-blowing middle grade fiction, sci-fi fantasy, and historic fiction emerge, delighting readers worldwide. Accolades sprinkle through his career, like winning the most Royal Palm literary awards in known human history. That is a fact I can attest to, by the way. Though, because of his continual isolation, he barely surfaces from his cocoon long enough to bask in such frivolous grandeurs. Until then, he writes in quiet solitude. Read more exciting adventures and dark humor from John Hope, as well as download free presentations, color pages, and other goodies from johnhopewriting.com. What a masterclass in writing a bio that catches people's attention. I need to rethink my own bio right now on my website, because it really is one of those things that maybe people glance at the end. Often it's at the end of the book. So is that at the end of the book or the beginning?
It's at the end.
Okay, so that's pretty typical. You read a book, you get to the end, and then you see about the author on the next page when you flip it. And so there's usually nice little anecdotes about this author from wherever they live, and they enjoy horseback riding or whatever little hobbies they have. That's how mine looks. I'm a runner and I love Jesus. And those are some of my little anecdotes. But Something like that. Wow. I so appreciate what you have done there. So I wanted everybody listening to be able to hear that. And yeah, let's all, any writers out there, if you have a bio, or even if you're not a writer and you have a bio for your job, this is something we can all aspire to. What made you decide to do a bio like that?
It's fitting for this particular book because this is a very humorous story. And because it was lighthearted, I could be lighthearted with the bio.
Tell us about the book and when it's releasing.
Okay, Scott Free is coming out on Thanksgiving, and it's about a couple kids who essentially run amok through a grocery store, and at one point the store catches fire, and they have to rescue people and themselves. The stakes are high, but at the same time, there's a lot of funny moments throughout the whole thing, especially a lot of colorful characters that you will definitely remember. And in fact, I was doing a lot of laughing when I was writing.
I bet you do a lot of laughing when you're down in your writing dungeon.
Yeah.
The screams people hear are actually just you cackling and laughter.
Yeah.
And this says, Another Crazy Adventure by John Hope. Is this a book length? What age range is this one for?
So I would recommend this for 8 to 12.
Okay.
At least that would be the primary audience.
Sure. For example, I have a 6-year-old who is actually quite good at reading. He probably would love reading this. I might have to help him with some, if there's any bigger words. But
sure.
But it's always good to know the target audience, because that gives parents especially an idea of who it is aimed for. So if you have an 8 to 12-year-old, and I would say especially the boys, sometimes there's not as much for the boys. I know there are books that are specific for boys, but it's nice to see something like this that I have a boy, so I think about these things and I look for these kind of things. It's great to have another book for boys, and I'm guessing you're targeting both boys and girls.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And I'm also very deliberate when I write every story that I include the basics of characters, conflict, and it's, I try to be so
modeling good storytelling.
Yeah,
yes.
And I try to be so obvious about it that it's very easy for kids to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if there's complexities and what's going on, as long as those basics are there and it's easy to identify, it helps kids to understand what's going on and, oh, who's the good guys, who are the bad guys,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
those kinds of things. Because that's the number one thing that I, in my experience, that causes kids to put a book down is when they're like, I don't know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and then they get bored.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Scott Free comes out, did you say Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Thanksgiving Day.
And is it going to be, what type of medium? Is it going to be print book, Kindle, audio, all the above? None of the above. You gotta come to his house and get your copy from the dungeon.
No, don't come to my house. I don't like people. No, it's will be available in Kindle and paperback on Thanksgiving, and then at the beginning of next year, it'll be out audiobook and hardback.
Okay, let's talk audiobook a little bit. I love talking to independent authors about audiobook because, for example, sometimes an independent author can navigate their way through the ebook, the print book stuff by themselves, but when it comes to audio, there's a whole nother element there. If you're not able to read it yourself, if you don't necessarily want to learn and get all the equipment or whatever, tell us a little bit about how are you doing audio? Have you done it before? Is this
Yes.
the first one?
Pretty much all of my books are in audiobooks, except for the children's picture books because they're too short.
Mm-hmm.
But I audition different voice artists and pick one that is appropriate for the story.
How do you do that?
I usually use those tools that they have available. Through Audible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. They have a platform called
ACX. Yep. I'm going to help fill in those blanks when I can.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
We're both over 40, so we'll help each other out.
I've never been good at remembering those kinds of things, so I don't think it's the age. It's just the person.
It's okay. Okay, so you get to listen to these different narrators. I love bringing up Stefan Rudnicki. He's a Hugo Award-winning author narrator. He narrated Ender's Game, for example, when I think that might have been one of the first books I heard with his voice.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, I could hear that voice reading the dictionary, and I would just be enthralled. So you find that most enthralling voice, but it has to be specific to your story, I'm sure. It's got to match the voice. Do you have trouble finding that? Does it take a while?
It does take a while, and like everything else, I'm a picky person, so I will go through a lot of different people. Fortunately, I have actually come across a couple voice artists who are excellent, who just very, very good. Like the gentleman who narrated both Father's Violin also did Silencing Sharks.
And, oh, let's pull up Silencing Sharks, because you, very quickly, I'm going to say, you were on Joy on Paper with Patsy a few years ago talking to her about Silencing Sharks, which is an award-winning book for kids. Won the President's Book Awards, for Florida Authors and Publishers Association. Yeah. Reader's Favorite Award. Let me read all the awards on here. Royal Palm Literary Award, Moonbeam Children's Book Award. And my goodness, please, parents, get your hands on Silencing Sharks as soon as possible. I'm going to get my copy from you signed, hopefully ASAP.
Yeah, it's one of my best-selling books, and it has a personal attention connecting with me just because I always wanted to swim with sharks. When that was my goal when I was a kid, was to be a marine biologist. And,
but you went the way of the software engineer, I understand.
Yeah. Disappointed everybody, I'm sure.
Okay, so backpedaling, we were talking audio. Okay, so you have a narrator who's done more than one of your books because he does such an excellent job.
Yeah.
And when there's a series, are you able to get the same narrator? Is that generally able to?
Yeah, like Panky Land, I actually had the same. You want to make sure that the voice really captures the character.
Absolutely. We are going to take a commercial break. When we get back, we're continuing our conversation with John Hope here in the studio, but also we're going to bring on another Alvarium Experiment author, Ken Pelham. As we head over to commercial break, I hope you'll join us for the last half hour, and we'll see you in just a moment. Thank you so much, John. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. Hi, and welcome back to Sci-Fi Hour here at Joy on Paper Radio. This is Briette Burton filling in for the wonderful Patsy Gill, and I want to say thank you to Big Ed in the studio for being just an awesome producer, and I'm going to reintroduce everyone who may be just now joining us to our guest who's in the studio, John Hope. And John is a sci-fi, fantasy, and humor writer, and very shortly we're going to be adding one more guest, but not quite yet. I want to briefly give everybody an opportunity to hear one quick story from John. We were talking about the humor bio that you wrote. Tell everybody how that may have originated when you were a child.
So when I was a kid, particularly on the weekends when my mom would clean the house, she would kick me and my brother out and told us not to come back.
It was a different time.
Yeah. So I would go on these long bike rides, and I would ride from neighborhood to neighborhood and just looking for other kids to play with. And what I quickly realized is that I get further away, far enough away from my house, those kids didn't know me, so I would just make up stuff about who I was, what my name was, and they, of course, they bought it. Like, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, that was the origin of your humorous bio, and if you missed it, be sure to rewatch on the Tantalk YouTube channel the whole show where you get to hear John's incredible humorous writing bio. So, as we get into this top of the hour, I want to talk about the Alvarium experiment. And we're going to start with a little promo that was created back in about 2016. So we're backing up in time just a little bit, and that's going to be very appropriate to what we're about to talk about. Big Ed, will you play a little promotion for the Prometheus Saga anthology?
At the dawn of mankind, a probe landed on Earth, whose alien identity is as mythic as Prometheus, the demigod, who was said to have brought fire to man. What if this probe, a form of artificial intelligence, could morph into any human form, take on any human identity?
Either male
or female.
What if this probe had a lifespan of hundreds of thousands of years and was on a mission to report everything it could about us to its home planet? What would this humanoid observe and learn over centuries of human existence when placed inside the hot crucible of life on Earth? This is the Prometheus Saga. Stories by award-winning authors interpreting how this alien presence would experience the greatest events in human history. From ancient civilizations, the age of explorers and inventors, through times ripped by revolution and war. The Prometheus Saga promises to deliver unusual insights, as each story crosses genres and genders, allowing for entirely different narratives and insights on historical events and the human experience. Begin this new and unique short fiction experience today. Visit www.alvariumexperiment.wix.com/Prometheus Saga to find out more. A project of the Alvarium Experiment.
Okay, so that gives us a little taste of what we're going to be talking about. And do we have Ken Pelham on the line? Ken, welcome to the show.
Yep. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here with two of my favorite people in the virtual universe.
We are so thrilled to have you here with John and I. And because we've got that promo going, it's a great opportunity for me to ask you, if you don't mind, as one of the founders of the Alvarium Experiment with Charles A. Cornell, would you give us a little bit of the background of how the Alvarium, how that experiment even came to be with specifically our first anthology, The Prometheus Saga, which everybody got to just hear the promo for that?
Thank you. I had to go back in time for this one. I had Charles the Writers Association. This is because we were both writing the same thing, basically thrillers, and I liked his work and he liked my work, and so we just stayed in touch. And just one day, I was thinking about what I would like to write, and I was thinking of what would be a good way to reach a broad market, and so I started thinking about putting together an anthology, and I came up with some ideas and listed them all out and wrote a couple of pages of if we could put an organization, a group of writers together, how we could make it work. And I didn't think too much of it myself, but I sent Charles an email and described it, and he immediately pounced on the idea. He said, everything, that's great, let's do it. That was just a month or two before the next Bar Association conference was scheduled to happen that October. So I decided, okay, let's flesh it out. We'll take it to the Congress and we'll just start grabbing this or that person by the collar. authors that we liked at work or we had confidence in. And so we just started rounding up a group that first conference, and we introduced them to the idea, and they all liked it. We had the idea of the Prometheus probe already put together. Everybody seemed to like the idea. So it just filled out from there. So we got ourselves, I think it was a deadline of January after that October conference to launch it. I may be off by a few weeks here, but anyway, so everybody liked it. It was a lot of fun. I think the stories were quite good. Since then, we've done a total of 6 anthologies for the collection.
Yes, and, yeah. I have several of them. I think I'm only sold out of one. The Return to Earth was our second anthology, right. But the Prometheus Saga. So I was one of those Florida Writers Association authors that you guys grabbed by the collar at the conference back, oh gosh, was it 20, would it have been 2015? Because this released, I want to say 2016 or 2017. This this came out in 2015. Okay, so we might have met back in 2014. We're really going back, aren't we? 10 years now. This is the 10-year anniversary of the Alvarium Experiment, I'm happy to announce.
Wow.
Yeah, I was so honored to be asked, and I know that you and Charles were specifically looking for people who had some writing awards, for example. John Hope, who's sitting next to me, is the Royal Palm Award winner record holder right now with a number of awards that he's won at that conference. But yeah, it's so incredible to see where we've come with how many anthologies we've done. I mentioned Return to Earth was our second one after the Prometheus Saga, and then we did the Prometheus Saga Volume 2, which I'm holding up all these covers for the people watching the live streams. That was just a continuation of the same premise of the Prometheus Saga. We did the Masters Reimagined, which is speculative fiction twists on sci-fi, fantasy, and horror stories. We did the Masters Reimagined 2. We like sequels. We did speculative fiction on classic art, And then we did our wonderful humor anthology, The Light Fantastic, right after the pandemic. We just wanted to make people laugh. The Light Fantastic was our humor anthology. That's actually what John Hope's story, Laser Hamsters, that we just got to talk about right after 11 o'clock. We were talking about that story. Ken, would you say you have a favorite story from some of these anthologies that you've written? Tell us a little bit about some of your stories.
You know what? I've been really happy with all the stories that I've written, and actually, I've been very happy with every anthology. They're chock full of good stories, and a lot of them won awards at the following conferences of the year they were published. I think Under the Welcome Tide might be my personal favorite of the stories that I've written.
From Return to Earth, right?
Return to Earth, and it's I was just really happy with it. The next one was, Human Contact with Aliens. The twist was going to be that the aliens are us.
So, yes, that's the premise.
Told the authors, do whatever you want with that idea.
Yep, the Return to Earth premise was imagining, what if it's humans that are returning to Earth? Why would that be? And each of us did a different story with that. Yeah. As we have continued to do these anthologies, what have you found? How has it helped your writing? And I'm going to ask John the same question, but Ken, we'll have you go first. How has it helped your overall writing to be part of this group of authors independently working together? Because essentially that's what we're doing. We're publishing independently together. Charles Cornell is our cover artist. We edit for each other. There's a lot of collaboration. What has this done for you in your writing?
I think it's given us a lot of freedom, both for me personally and us as a group, to explore these avenues. And it got me thinking. Some of these stories I've never, like most authors, I have a long list of story ideas. Mm. None of these came from my list of existing ideas. So when we came up with the premise, it really, each one would get me along different lines. So some of my favorite stories I've ever written all came from these ideas that we all cooked up as a group.
Yeah.
And we all agreed to, this will be the premise. And as you said, it's one of our authors, Dakota Openord, said it's so collegial. And I thought, that's a very good way to put it. We're all like a little college of writing friends. We critique each other's work and edit each other's work and just help out and then promote each other's work as we go. So as a group, it's a great project too.
Because these are shorter pieces, as an author, you can be a little bit more experimental and a little bit more courageous in what you do, because when you do a full-length book just by yourself, you're committed for quite a while, and it you almost tend to be a little bit more safer in your approach. But with shorter pieces, you can just really think outside the box and to do things that are a little bit more risky. And then, two, because we are all really good writers, there is a thing about iron sharpening iron. We all step up our game a bit in order to, I wouldn't say compete, but at least to be as good as everybody else. And that's... Both of those pieces have really helped out my writing in general.
I think I have the same answer, that my writing has improved, even just learning from each author who's part of this. I'm just going to list some of them from our most recent anthology. Kristen Durfee, who is an Orlando-based author. Parker Francis, a pen name for the wonderful Vic DeGenti up in the Jacksonville area. Ken and Charles, of course. Charles now overseas. Veronica H. Hart, who is, I believe, also Orlando-based. Deco, who is, I'm forgetting where she's at. A lot of us are in Florida. Scott Michael Powers is, I want to say, also Orlando-based. Jade Corian is somewhere in Florida. And Elle Andrews Pat, did I mention her before? Okay, Elle is up in Tennessee now. So we've got this wonderful group, a variety of people that come together, and we just continue to hone our craft. That's all part of this, not only being able to put ourselves out there, but continuing to improve and hone our craft. I love that aspect as well. Okay, so I think we're safe to start talking about what's coming. I know we're not going to give away too much, but it's exciting. We've had a little bit of a hiatus. We had a phase where we were putting out every year. We had an anthology coming out every year. So you'll notice the 6 anthologies. I'm going to hold them up, the stack. And you can go on Facebook, actually. We have an Alvarium Experiment page for anybody listening who wants to follow us and keep track of what we're doing and what's coming and what's been in the past and link to some of our previous anthologies. You can find them all on Amazon. They pretty much all have ebooks. Each author has their single story as a 99-cent ebook, so you can follow each author individually as well. So I'm going to hand it over to you, Ken. What would you like to tell everybody about what's coming up for our next anthology?
Perfect. And as you said, we've done one anthology each year for six to 8 years. Then we took a few years off. Now we all decided, okay, it's time to get back to it. At the last contest, the Florida Writers Association, I managed to get some time to talk to the other writers in the group that were there.
Including John, right? You were there? Yeah. John was hauling his suitcase of awards and, slinging them over his shoulder.
Yes, and it was John, actually, that said, hey, let's do another anthology. Actually, Elle had mentioned it first to me that weekend. And then when I rang to John, he said the same thing. And he said, I'd like to do one about pets. And I said, you know what?
Pets, I
would have never thought of that, but that's actually a very good idea. And I bounced it off Elle and the others that were there. And everybody seemed to like it. So we emailed it around to the other group, members of the group, and I think it caught on quickly. No one had a downside to it. It's going to be easy not to give away too much about this because we don't have too much to talk about yet. We know the theme is going to be pets. We know it's going to be one of the speculative genres, that being science fiction, horror, things like that. And science fiction, of course, is a broad category when you count in steampunk, cyberpunk, all the different punks.
Yep.
And that the other, I think, caveat is that we all love doing the light fantastic so much. We all thought, if we're going to do pets, we don't want to do something too grim about not Pet Cemetery. We want to do more lighthearted fare. So that seems to be the direction that we're all going. Beyond that, I don't think we have any other guidelines. We kicked around a few other ideas for it, but I think several people already have probably started their stories and might have them even finished. But we'll go from there and see how it goes. I think we're looking at a launch probably early in the year. We haven't set that date yet, but typically for what we do, it was holding up the actual printed versions. But what we typically do is we release them all individually on the same day as separate ebooks. So they're all published at the same time for 99 cents. And then after that goes on for a while, then we gather them all together into a single printed volume. And it seems to work out really well. That way we can all self-promote and promote each other's work as we go.
And L. Andrews Pat is our publisher. She has, is it Beach Press? I'm blanking on her. I should probably look in here because I think, Blue Beach Press. She has done our print anthologies and she's taken over for any previous as well. Once we have a release date, which of course, again, if you follow us on Facebook, you'll get all the latest of when we even have that date and when it's coming out next year. It'll be those single Kindle stories for 99 cents, as you mentioned. So John will have his story out as a 99 cent Kindle book. So will I, so will Ken, so will Elle and whoever else is joining us. I think Kristen has already said she's gonna join us. And then eventually, yes, they'll all come together in one single anthology. We have so much fun doing this. We've had such, I want to say, success even with how we do our process as well. And for example, even John being able to take his Laser Hamster story, which was a 99 cent Kindle story, and then it shows up in this print anthology, he did his own print. Like we obviously have kind of a little bit of a verbal contract, but we allow the authors to then do that as well. If you want to make your own print copy of your little short story, or some of us have long short stories, we can do those kind of things with some of that freedom that this group allows for. So we're going to be talking pets. We're going to be talking sci-fi, fantasy, horror. We're going to be talking humor. John, is there anything you're excited about with this anthology? Do you have ideas already ruminating? You probably did, since you were one of the people talking to Ken at the conference saying, let's get going.
Yeah, I have some definite ideas for this. Unfortunately, for this radio broadcast, I can't talk about it because I have a strict rule that I don't talk about things before I write it.
That's okay. Yeah, no, we'll whet the appetite a little bit. Yes, we have ideas. The only thing I will say is I'm undecided. I have several thoughts that I'm bouncing. One of the things I've thought of, because I have Lance and Ringo Tales, which is my own personal, my actual pets, my dog and cat. We did lose the dog at the beginning of this year, but the pet stories that I've written are humorous pet stories. I certainly have already a potentially natural segue into maybe doing a humorous Ringo the Cat story with a sci-fi fantasy twist. So that is percolating in my mind, but I haven't 100% decided. There's some leeway there if I want to do something different. And Ken, do you already have some story ideas? Are you penciling things down?
I have very vague ideas, nothing I've really gotten satisfied with yet. So I'm going to spend probably the rest of this week thinking about that and narrowing it down. I have a couple of ideas I want to look into, but I think that sounds like something somebody else might have done 100 times elsewhere. I was glad that you mentioned Lance and Ringo. One thing that we've always encouraged our writers to do and what we're going to do is we all have our individual writing projects and we all have our universal characters and books that we've done outside of this. So I've always said, feel free to put an Alvarian story from your universal fiction.
Oh, yes. The tie-in type story, yes, that you can use to promote your separate universe that we do. Yeah, which is, I love that about our group as well. There were other Alvarium authors at the conference. You mentioned Elle. Was Antonio there as well?
Antonio Simon Jr.,
and he's considering, I believe, I don't know that he's committed, but also a wonderful writer. Now, Charles A. Cornell is actually going to be my guest next month in December. We're going to talk about his book, Reborn, which is part of his new trilogy, a sci-fi trilogy. That trilogy actually emerged from one of the Return to Earth stories. So he did a story in Return to Earth, our second Alvarium Experiment anthology called Children of the Stars. And that, for him, it birthed a whole trilogy, which I can't wait to talk to him about that next month. And I'm going to be sure to be letting everybody know when he'll be on. He has committed to our cover art. Is that right? Yes. He's been our cover artist for all six anthologies. And he does such incredible work. I always love to show the Prometheus Saga. When I am at, all of these covers are beautiful. When I am at book signings, that is one of the covers that really catches the eye for some particular reason. It tends to draw a lot of people. But I would say all of these covers are awesome that he does. Oh, go ahead. Were you about to say something, Ken? I think our connection is breaking up a little bit. I don't know if you can restate what you just said.
Yes.
Oh, shoot, we're losing him. Okay, this is all part of the sci-fi that we get to experience technology in real time. Ken, are you still there? I can hear you now. Go ahead, try one more time.
Expanded stories that they did from in our projects into novel series. It's very satisfying to see them so happy with what they did with us and then build a universe out of that.
Yes, but I caught all that. So Ken was just commenting on the fact that some of us have launched almost our full series from just these short stories from the Alvarium. Have you had that happen, John, in any of your cases?
Just really laser hamsters.
Okay, gotcha. That's okay. There's potentially a series there waiting to happen. But we're going to go ahead and wind down a little bit. Ken, any other thoughts that you just want to comment on with the Alvarium experiment, your experience with it, anything else with your writing?
No, it was each one of those six projects were a lot of fun to work on. I'm looking forward to getting into the next one. I'm a slow reader and a slow writer, so I'll probably be the last one to finish on it. But
you always make the deadline, though.
Yeah, I'll make sure to do that.
And tell us the website that any listener who wants to follow you and keep track of what you're writing, where can they find you?
Okay, I appreciate that. It's www.kenfellum.com, all written as one word.
Spell out your name for everybody.
KENPELHAM.
.com. Wonderful. Ken, thank you so much for coming onto the show. I really appreciate you just joining us with celebrating the Alvarium experiment. I actually can't believe it's been 10 years now that we've actually said that out loud. It's been 10 years, and it's been a wonderful 10 years working with you and Charles and John and all the people that have been part of it have been absolutely delightful to work with. So I just want to thank you, especially as one of the founders, for getting this going and the idea.
I appreciate that very much.
And we'll definitely have you back on the show. So take care and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so that was Ken Pelham joining us on the phone, but we still have John Hope here in the studio for just a couple minutes as we wind down. John, anything else that you would like the listener to know? We can mention any social media website, of course, where they can find your books and follow you.
Yeah. I also am very actively participate in doing presentations, not
yes.
only at schools, but at writing conferences and any kind of groups that anybody wants to bring me in on.
And he is a wonderful presenter. I have sat under presentations that you've done, and they are fantastic.
Yeah, I love to teach something every time, even if it's something small. And because what it comes down to is that we're all potential writers. Mm-hmm. We all have stories within us, and a lot of times you just need somebody to give you a little push, maybe
sure.
give you some information mm-hmm. of like where to get started and what to do with your book that you're budding to write.
And so can they go to johnhopewriting.com to contact you?
Yeah, they can, yeah.
Wonderful. And find all your books. And for me, as I am here once a month, if you're looking for me, I am at www.briaburton.com. You can find me on Instagram at Bria Burton. You can find me on Twitter/X at Bria Burton, and on Facebook I have a Bria Burton author page. So we are going to be continuing Alvarium experiment announcements, which is going to be so exciting. I can't wait to be able to share more with you all. But in the meantime, if you're a writer, do go write. If you're a reader, pick up these wonderful books by John Hope, by Ken Pelham, and the Alvarium experiment. And we look forward to having you all join us again for next month's Sci-Fi Hour. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.